Well, turn if you were to Psalm 119. I joked about turning there yesterday, but I'm really going to be there today. But just one stanza, verses 9 through 16. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. Just wanted to end our time together with just a challenge to you men as we leave here, that we would be uncompromising men, not just when we're together, right? That's easy, but when we return home and to our work and our neighborhoods where God has placed us. Psalm 119, verse 9, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. Lord, bless our time this final session. Thank you for these men, and I pray you just help them now to be alert and to listen to these truths that come from your word. That, Lord, how are we to live lives that would be pure and holy and acceptable in your sight? Lord, we need to do that by living according to your word. So equip us so that we might return home ready to do your will. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I had the incredible privilege of serving as planting pastor and senior pastor of the Bible Church of Brownsburg. It was on the west side of Indianapolis in Indiana. I was there for 12 years. And my goal as pastor was to get the word of God into the hearts of the people so that they could live a pure and holy life, so that they could be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, so that we could grow as a church, not just numerically and corporately, but also individually. We can't always be together like this, right? This is a rare thing, to be together in a group of men like this at this retreat. And so we need God's word to sustain us, and we need God's word to sanctify us. And so I would like to, this afternoon, share a message that I love to share with men of all ages, a message about the word of God from the word of God here in Psalm 119. Many of you know this, that we come to the longest of the 150 Psalms. This is the longest chapter of the Bible. It contains 176 verses. This psalm is actually larger or longer than some of the books of the Bible, including Jonah, Philemon, 2nd and 3rd John, and Jude. Psalm 119 has been called the Mount Everest of the Psalter, yet its author, human author, is unknown. Some have reasonably suggested it could be written by David or Ezra or Daniel. Psalm 119 is a psalm about the Word of God, and it joins Psalm 1 and Psalm 19 as psalms that exalt God's Word. It's also an acrostic psalm. The psalm structure observes a strict acrostic pattern. There are 22 stanzas of 8 verses each, and they follow the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet in sequence. So within a stanza, the first word of each verse in the Hebrew begins with that same letter, the letter to which the entire stanza corresponds. So some of you in your Bibles will have the names of the Hebrew letters and even the what those letters look like in the Hebrew. So a great way to learn the Hebrew alphabet. Impress your friends when you go home. And in this great psalm, there are 8 different terms that are used throughout to refer to the Word of God. The author uses the word law, testimonies, precepts, statutes, commandments, judgments, word, and ordinances. We all need to know God's word, young and old alike. Amen? And so the best thing I can do for you, I think, as your speaker this weekend is to try to get the word of God into your heart. It's fun to tell stories. It's fun to tell jokes. It's fun to do skits. I used to love to do skits at FCA camp. But what we really need is God's word. That's what's going to sustain us when the Christian life gets really, really tough, and it can be very hard. There are all kinds of pressures and temptations. There are all kinds of things seeking our time and attention. I remember working at an FCA camp in Indiana. I was on staff there for a year, and there was a sign at the camp as you would leave there. And, you know, people would come to a camp like that. They would come to an FCA camp, or they'd come on a church retreat. And it's a mountaintop experience, right? Especially when you're young and you go there and you're in God's Word and you're singing and you're meeting other Christian friends. It's a great high. And then you leave. And I remember this sign as you would leave the camp, and it said simply, and it was referring to the pavement, but it said, "Bumps ahead." So true, isn't it? And as we leave today, there are going to be bumps ahead. There are going to be temptations and trials and pressures. There are going to be things seeking our time and attention. The world would love to pull us in, that we would embrace its system. The devil would love to destroy our character, our witness, anything that God has done in your life this weekend. The flesh would love to get us to focus all of our attention on self rather than on God. So how then can you live a pure and holy life? How can you live a life that would be pleasing and honoring to God, a life that would glorify Him? Let me let you in on a secret, okay? Write this down. You cannot do it apart from God's Word. It's not really a secret. That's just the truth. You can imitate and mimic other Christians for only so long, but when hard times come, you will crash and burn. And that's why Paul says in Ephesians 5:1, be imitators of God. I believe that all of you here want to live a godly life. That is why you came this weekend. That is why you attend the church that you do. I believe you are here because you want to be here. You want to grow. You want to live lives that are holy and acceptable unto God. So as we wrap things up, I want to give you 8 ways to help you live a pure and holy life. Just, they're going to go quick. They're all based on the Word of God. All of them are derived from these 8 verses here in Psalm 119. And I want to give them to you in the form of a vow, that you would make this vow between you and God. So they'll go like this. Number one, I will plant myself in the Word of God. So you're saying to the Lord, I will plant myself in the Word of God. Verse 9 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? Here's the answer. By keeping it according to your word. You cannot live a pure and holy life apart from knowledge of God's word. There is no other way of knowing what is right and what is wrong, what is acceptable to God, what is detestable in his sight. The word of God reveals the will of God, and so you have to plant yourself in God's word if you want to grow, if you want to live a holy life. My mom is 81 years old. She loves flowers, particularly roses. And my dad went to be with the Lord this summer, but my dad was always faithful. He would go to this store in the Midwest called Big R, okay? Just kind of reveals, yeah, you're from Indiana. Yeah, Big R. And he would go and buy these rose bushes, and he would bring them home. And it's very gracious of him, right? But it wasn't, my dad wouldn't come home and just throw the roses on the counter and go, here you go, I love you, honey. But what would he do? He would go outside, he would dig, he would plant those flowers in the ground, he would take care of them and water them. Because he knew that they would not grow unless he planted them in the ground. And in the same way, you and I will not grow apart from God's word. We need to be in God's word on a daily basis. We need to understand and agree that growth and holiness will not come apart from spending time in the Word of God. I don't know all of you, and so I just want to say this in love, that perhaps some of you are not planted in God's Word. And if you were to be honest before God, you couldn't tell me the last time you really sat down outside of a church time or a retreat time where you really sat down to read and study God's Word. And I think I can say that because I've been there before. And probably many of you have as well. I remember times in high school and college, and even on staff with FCA in the early 90s, when my Bible would go untouched from a Sunday to a Sunday. That's not healthy. There was a guy who got converted to Christ when I was working for FCA in Illinois. He was a linebacker for the Fighting Illini, and I was taking him to this event, and he was going to share his testimony. And I was looking at him as I was driving. He had something written. Someone had given him a Bible, and they wrote something on the inside of it. And I said, Eric, what does that say? And he read this to me. Someone had written in his Bible, sin will keep me from this book, or this book will keep me from sin. And which will it be for you, and which will it be for me? Will sin keep me from this book, or will this book keep me from my sin? So plant yourself in the Word of God, and if you're not doing that on a daily basis, go home today saying, I'm going to do this, Lord. I'm going to get into your Word. Secondly, along with that, say to the Lord, I will keep myself in the Word of God. I will plant myself in the Word of God, and then I will keep myself in the Word of God. Verse 10, the psalmist says, with all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. The psalmist says, do not let me wander. It is so easy to do, isn't it? To get away from reading and studying God's Word. We sing that great hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. The words, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Wandering from the Word leads you to an impure and unholy life. And so the psalmist says, do not let me wander from your commandments. Notice he says commandments, not options, not suggestions. These are the commandments of the Lord. This is what God desires and what he requires from every one of us. You cannot seek God apart from his Word. Many have tried. I have tried. Perhaps you have tried. And we have failed. Wander is exactly what we will do when we get away from God's Word. I've heard people say this before. I've never went and tested it myself. I just trust them that if you're walking in the desert and you have no frame of reference, nothing to guide you, no compass, no GPS, you will eventually do a complete circle. That's just how we are. You will wander. And so we need to be in God's Word. Most likely none of us have a photographic memory. Therefore, we need to stay in God's Word, really all the way to death. And so in your vow to the Lord to plant yourself in the Word of God and to keep yourself there, if you haven't done this, just make a commitment to be in God's Word on a daily basis. Maybe you say, you know what, I'm going to read the Bible for 21 straight days. Some say that's what establishes a habit. Or I'm going to read through the Bible in a year. Or I'm going to read this, just a simple little devotional. Like I remember growing up, just that little devotional, the Daily Bread. This is something that you can read and suggested reading that will get you into God's Word. Those Daily Breads, though, they come and they might be like January through March, okay? Make sure you don't read all at one time, all right? Those are supposed to be daily. You don't work ahead like, hey, I read, I'm done for 90 days. No, get in God's Word daily, okay? Plant yourself there, keep yourself there. I have young people who say to me, but Kirby, I just didn't feel like reading God's Word. That's the time to get in. Amen? Plant yourself there. Keep yourself there, even when you don't feel like it. And let God change your heart. Thirdly, say to the Lord, I will memorize the Word of God. I will memorize the Word of God. This is a verse that many of us have memorized, right? Verse 11, your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. The psalmist says, I have treasured it in my heart. I have learned it. I have hid it in my heart. Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and then 8 and 9 says this, these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Learn the Word of God. Memorize it. Have it in your heart. Have it in your mind. Even if you're not physically carrying a Bible with you. Why? Because the psalmist says, when I do that, when I treasure it, when I hide it, when I memorize it, it means that I will not sin against God. I'm not here to push one type of scripture memorization program, whether it's Awana or Word of Life or Navigators. There's some great tools there. But maybe you just write it on a card. That's what my wife does for our boys on a weekly basis, a verse that they can meditate on. She puts it in their lunch. They carry it around. They're seeing it throughout the day. I've seen people put verses on their mirror, you know, especially if you spend a lot of time there like ladies do. Please don't. If that's on the tape, go ahead and cut that right now. All right. On a steering wheel. I had a friend, he had scripture on his steering wheel. I encourage him to look up every once in a while, but it was right there in front of him all the time, or on your computer, where you're seeing it, you're reading it over and over again. And I know some of you guys are really doing well with scripture memory, but I always like to say to people, be concerned with the spirit of the verse more than the letter. So, you know, I know 2 Corinthians 5:17 says simply, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. I might have missed a word in there, but I know what Paul is trying to say. Hide it in your heart. In Psalm 19, which is a psalm of David about the word of God, he says in verse 11, moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. So plant yourself in the word of God. Keep yourself in the word of God. Memorize the word of God. Number four, say to the Lord, I will learn the word of God. I will learn the word of God. Verse 12 says, blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. This is a phenomenal psalm, whether it's written by David or Ezra or Daniel or someone else. This writer had a deep knowledge of the word of God, didn't he? But yet he wants to continue to learn God's word. He's teachable. He is satisfied in God alone, but he is not content to stay where he is. He is constantly growing. Friends, you can never exhaust God's word. There should never be a time where we close the book and say, I got it. I've arrived. I'm done. Be a learner. Buy a Bible commentary or Bible dictionary to gain even greater understanding. I always tell people, purchase the ESV Study Bible. That is such a resource in one volume. I remember when I was living in Indiana, there was a really bad hailstorm in Louisville, and someone put on Twitter, quick, find someone with an ESV Study Bible and get underneath it, okay? It weighs about 90 pounds, but you can have that at home. It's just a great resource, okay? Use a concordance or do a study on a Hebrew word in the Old Testament or a Greek word in the New. Don't get complacent. Pastor Joe Hummerkaus, I mentioned him earlier. He had served as a pastor for over 20 years at the church, Calvary Baptist Church, when I came on staff there in 1993. And I remember he gave me an opportunity to preach in big church, right, for the first time. And I preached some pretty bad sermons those early days, pre-seminary days. And yet, I would get up to preach, and he would be on the front row. I would be preaching a sermon that he had probably preached a dozen times. But you know what he would do? Sit there and take notes. Here's this veteran guy who's walked with the Lord for many years saying, I can learn even from Kirby Myers. That's the attitude we need to have, men, to be learners, to have a teachable spirit. Never have the attitude saying, I already know this. Let's learn. Number five, say to the Lord, I will testify of the word of God. I will testify of the word of God. The psalmist says in verse 13, with my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. Men, let the word of God be always on your lips. Tell others what you are learning, what you have read. My wife is so good at this, being excited about God's word and what she's learned from it. And she shares it with me and shares it with others, shares it with our young ladies at the academy. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John, you remember this, they were commanded not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. And this was their response in Acts 4, 19 and 20. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge, for we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. So good. And friends, when it's in your heart, it will be on your lips. But if it's not on your heart, it's never going to get to your lips. Number six, say to the Lord, I will rejoice in the word of God. I will rejoice in the word of God. Verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. David says in Psalm 19:10, they are more desirable than gold. Yes, than much fine gold. David was a king, yet his greatest possession was the very word of God. Is the word of God your greatest possession? I always like to think of this illustration. If you went home today and you went back to your home or to your apartment and you were greeted by the fire department and your house was on fire and a firefighter came up to you and said, you have just enough time to run in and get one thing. Would you go and get your Bible? And you're like, no, Kirby, you idiot. I have my Bible with me, okay? But just come along with me, okay? Or it's on my phone, right? No. Is that the thing that you would want? Is that your most prized possession? I told this story this summer in a Sunday school class. Some of you heard it. I apologize. But Sally and I moved to California in January of 1998, and I think it was in January of 1999, maybe February. There was some of my FCA friends and staff were coming into town. They were going to be staying in San Diego. And my brother was working for Marriott Hotels at the time, and that's where the convention was going to be. And so we drove down there a couple hours, and through my brother, I got a nice discount. You know, we didn't have any money when we were in seminary, but through his employment at Marriott, we stayed in rooms for $39 a night. And so it was a little getaway for us. And so I remember we were checking into our hotel, downtown San Diego, the Marriott's like two towers. And we're checking in. The guy's like, hey, do you want a high floor or a low floor? And I was like, a high floor? Are you kidding me? San Diego, view of the bay. We were excited. And Sally kind of nudged me. She's like, Kirby, what if there's an earthquake? And I was like, there's not going to be an earthquake. We're in California, you know? So anyway, we went to bed maybe at 12. And guess what? 3 a.m. The whole room was like this. And it was like being on a boat. And you know, I was deep in sleep, and I forgot where we were. You know, she woke me up. She was like, Kirby, we're having an earthquake. And I was thinking we're back in our little apartment in Montrose, California, okay? And so I'm thinking about our apartment. She's like, get your shoes, you know? And so I'm like, okay, why the big hurry? And I didn't understand. And then finally when she opened the door and I saw the hallway of the hotel, I was like, oh, yeah, we're in San Diego. So we're on the 19th floor, the elevators are down, and so we're walking all the way down, and we're standing outside, and it's 3 a.m. People are actually checking out of the hotel. I mean, where are you going to go? You know, can't really outrun an earthquake. But people are leaving and freaking out, and I remember the first report that we got, a manager came out, and he goes, it was a 7.0 in Los Angeles. And we were thinking back to our little apartment, and we had just bought a new dresser, like a low boy, high boy. And I was thinking, oh, that thing crashed. We probably lost that. And just thinking about our possessions. And honestly, I started to get pretty depressed. For about 30 minutes, I was thinking about earthly things and the things maybe we would have lost in our apartment. But after that 30 minutes of grieving and thinking about those things, I had this great moment, and I thought about what I still had. I had my wife who was next to me, but I remembered, I said, Sally, I've got my MacArthur Study Bible, and we've got our Toyota Corolla. Let's go. I mean, what else did we need, right? And it was really a great moment, and then later we found out it wasn't in Los Angeles. It was Joshua Tree. When we got back to our apartment, everything was fine, and I was glad for that, okay? But it was a neat moment to think about what really matters. So rejoice in the word of God and rejoice as much as in all riches. Rejoice that you can possess the word of God. Believers in China, North Korea, Vietnam, they don't have the luxury that we have right now to open the word of God freely and to study it and carry it around with us and talk about it with one another. Rejoice that you can learn it. Rejoice that you can know it and make it known. Number 7. Say to the Lord, I will meditate on the word of God. I will meditate on the word of God. The psalmist says, I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. The word of God, God loves us. He has written this to us. He has given us his word because he loves us. And so we are to meditate upon it. When Sally and I were dating, you young people in the front row, you won't understand this much, but we would actually write each other letters, okay? We took out paper and pen, and we would write each other, and then we would put it in an envelope, okay? Am I going too fast? All right. And then we put a stamp on it. We'd actually mail it, and then you have those 2 days of, oh, man, did she get it today, and what's she thinking, right? And that was an exciting time. And this was before Al Gore invented the internet, so we had to communicate that way. And this was way before text messaging, okay? I know that's really foreign to you young people. But I would write her, and then she would write me back, and I would get this letter, and I would read it, and I would read it over again. I would break it down. I would exposit it. And I would say, what is she saying? And now I say it again, what is she saying? Right? The psalmist says here, I will regard your ways. I will contemplate. I will look into. And that's what we need to do, men. We need to read the Word of God. We need to study it. And we need to say, what is God saying? How does God want me to respond? And praise God, His Word can be understood. He has given us His Holy Spirit. He has not left us to ourselves. Amen. 1 John 2:27, as for you, the anointing which you receive from Him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. That's called the illumination of the Holy Spirit. He gives us understanding. He applies His Word to our hearts. So don't just read the Word and walk away and say, hey, I spent my time, I put in my time today, but read it and meditate on it and come back to it during the day. What is God teaching me? What does He want me to learn? And then number 8, say to the Lord, I will delight in the Word of God. I will delight in the Word of God. The psalmist says, I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. Friends, younger men who are here today especially, I just love to tell young people this. There is nothing better than knowing Christ. There is nothing better than obeying Christ. There is nothing better than delighting in the Word of God. Psalm 19:11, David says, in keeping them, there is great reward. Growing up in an independent, fundamental, King James only, separatist, soul-winning bus ministry church, and I always say those were just the things on the sign out front. I'm not kidding. There was a mentality growing up in our church that said this, are you going to be happy or are you going to be holy? As if the two were mutually exclusive. The truth is this, you will be happy when you live a holy life that is pleasing and acceptable to God. The psalmist says, I shall delight in your statutes. There's elation here. I shall not forget your word. He does not wander from them. He knows how valuable they are to him. Psalm 119, later in the chapter, verse 93 says, I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have revived me. Isn't that good? So the question again, do you want to live a pure and holy life? Do you want to live a life that is pleasing to God? I believe these verses tell us how we do that. And let me conclude our time just with some application here by using a sports analogy. Of course, that's what I'm going to do to apply this to our lives, okay? When you say plant yourself in God's Word, here I like to say get in the game. Get in the game. If you're not currently in God's Word, get in the game. Jump in there. Be a part of God's Word on a daily basis. Number 2, where you say keep yourself in God's Word, here I like to say stay in the game. Once you've got in, once you've got off the sidelines and you're now part of this and you are in God's Word, you are enjoying the Christian life, stay in there. The movie Rudy, if you remember that movie, when Rudy Rüdiger gets to finally go in and he goes in on offense, they're kicking off or whatever, and then they get the ball back, or the ball's turned over, and so Notre Dame's now on defense. He looks over the sidelines and he's like, Coach, what do you want me to do? And the coach says, stay in there. I love that. You with me, Michael? Stay in there. And I think about that. Get in God's Word and stay in God's Word daily. Number 3, where you say memorize the Word of God, I like to say know the rules. Know the rules. What has God said? God has been very clear to us. I remember years ago when Donovan McNabb, I was messing with Brian back there wearing that Eagles shirt. I went and said, hey, are the tags still on that? Like, did you just go out and buy that? But no, I think he's had that for a while. But when Donovan McNabb was the quarterback for the Eagles years ago, and I think they've reformed overtime a little bit in the NFL, but back in the day, it was whoever scored first, touchdown or field goal. And the Eagles were playing somebody, and the other team scored first, and he was in shock. He didn't know that the game had ended. Here is a quarterback for an NFL team not even knowing the rules. And so we need to know God's Word. We need to memorize it. What has God said? Number 4, where you say, I will learn the Word of God. Here I love to say, study the game plan. Study the game plan. As an Indiana guy, as an Indianapolis Colts fan, we had a great quarterback, Peyton Manning. He was one of the best regular season quarterbacks of all time, okay? Not so great in the postseason, But Peyton Manning was so effective because he studied the game plan over and over and over again. And may that be true of us, that we learn the Word of God, always being teachable. Number five, where you say, I will testify of God's Word, I like to say, let's hear some chatter. I used to coach Little League Baseball, and I would say to those kids, come on, talk it up out there. Let me hear some chatter. We need to be talking about God's Word. We're really good about talking about the weather, aren't we? We're really good about talking about sports. I'm really guilty of that. But how much do we talk and say, hey, how are you doing in your quiet time? What are you reading in God's Word? What are you learning? Let's testify of it, men. Number six, where you say rejoice in God's Word, I will rejoice in God's Word. I like to say here, just be glad you're in the game. Be glad you're in the game. God chose you and me before the foundation of the world. Why? Because it was pleasing in His sight. We were dead in our sins. We were aliens. We were depraved sinners. And God has allowed us to be a part of His family. Why would we not rejoice? Why wouldn't we not be glad that we are Christians? Number seven, where you say, I will meditate on God's Word. Here I like to say, break down tape. The athletes I'm around, they watch a lot of film. I guarantee you, they're watching a lot of film from the Army-Navy game yesterday. And coach is pointing out every single thing our guys did wrong. It's going to be about a three-hour session, all right? And they're going to see everything they did wrong, but they're going to break that down and they're going to make adjustments, right? And we need to do that with God's Word. We need to meditate on it. We need to know it and to go over it, again and again. When Curt Schilling was a pitcher, a lot of time with the Boston Red Sox, Philly, some other teams, he was really effective, and I'm sure other pitchers did this too, but he was one I was familiar with. Whenever he would get ready for a new series, so if Boston was coming to Baltimore or coming to New York City for a three-game series, a four-game series, he would watch videotape of every batter he could potentially face. And he learned where to pitch them and where not to pitch them because of the hours he spent watching tape. And so we need to do that with God's Word. We need to meditate on it. Let it really be in our minds and change us from the inside out. And then finally, where you say, I will delight in God's Word, I just love to say here, love the game. Love the Christian life. Again, there's nothing better than knowing Christ and growing in a relationship with Him. So may God do this. We cannot do it on our own, but let us all remember, we cannot do it apart from the very Word of God. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this great psalm. Thank you for this human author. But thank you most of all for your Holy Spirit that inspired him to write these words. And Lord, it is so encouraging to read these words and to see a man who truly loved your Word, who meditated on it, who was always wanting to learn and to be planted in your Word. And I pray that that would be true of us as men. God, we know there are bumps ahead. Lord, we know there are things perhaps waiting for us at home today and at work tomorrow. Things that we will face that we know of and things that will come up that we're not aware of. There are trials, there are temptations. There are so many things seeking our time and our attention. But Lord, you tell us how to live a holy life. And that is only by living according to your Word. So thank you for giving us this playbook. Thank you for giving us, Lord, we have multiple Bibles in multiple translations. Thank you for the access we have in this country to the very Word of God. Help us to take advantage that we might look more like you, that we would be conformed to the image of your Son. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.